Blog Talk Radio.
Jehovah Nisi, my provider. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me go back. Yes, we've been going on with Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and knowing that the Lord takes care of all of our needs and all we have to do is put our trust in him. I had a little brain freeze there. And so we've been over Jehovah Nisi, Lord My Banner, and Jehovah Rafi, and Jehovah Elohim, and Jehovah Elyon, and so then we've gone over I Am That I Am. And so we're going to be continuing up with Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and then we'll continue on to our next lesson. So it's going to be a total of 10 lessons. So I pray that you would be reading my blogs, and also if you're interested in getting the lesson series, they are available on Amazon.com. The lesson series title is Who is God? And then you'll be able to see, just type in my name, Kel Rich, and you'll be able to see all the lessons that's available. Also, if you would like to donate to the cause of this ministry, you can do so again on the website at www.it-isfinishedwithaned.com. Okay, before we continue on with today's broadcast, please keep in prayer your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted all throughout the world. We want to keep them lifted up in prayer, and they're being tortured by the day, and so there's so many things that's taking place with them. So let's please keep them in prayer and keep them lifted up. That's what we're going to talk about today is, are you going to be the one that say, I don't know the man, or will you stand firm for Christ? And so we're going to be talking about that today, because so many people, they say, oh yeah, I'm going to stand up for you, Lord, just like Peter did. But then when the pressure came down, Peter deny Christ, not once, not twice, but three times. And so I want to read to you, we prayed over the past year for Pastor Saeed, American pastor who was in Iranian prison for 3.5 years, and he was released this year. And so we thank God for his release, but he wrote some things that was taking place in prison while he was there in Iran. And so I want to read this because it's very interesting, and we want to know what the Christians are actually going through in these other countries. And so Pastor Saeed, he says that he had no voice. He said, I had no voice in prison. I was tortured, but God taught me to turn to him. Pastor Saeed is sharing how he derived strength from God through prayer as he was being tortured in Iran, telling believers, we are one in prayer. It is the most powerful thing we do. Pastor Saeed, who was held hostage for 3.5 years in Iranian prison for his Christian faith before finally being released, has been posting reflections on his Facebook page about his imprisonment. On Monday, he shared Isaiah 53:7, which reads, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Pastor Saeed wrote, this verse has been on my heart today to know that our Savior on the cross went through for our salvation touches my heart deeply. Although I experienced some torture in prison, the thing I remember is that I could not speak for myself. He taught me to turn to him instead of man. He continued on to say, and now I know that you all were my voice. I had no voice in prison. My prayer is that we will continue to be that voice for each other. We are one in prayer. It is the most powerful thing we do. Hundreds of thousands of people around the world signed petitions and campaigned for Pastor Saeed's release throughout the years, joining together in a message to Iranian authorities. The pastor was able to send out some letters thanking people for their prayers while he was still in prison, and has been expressing his gratitude now that he has been reunited with his children back home in Boise, Idaho. And another Facebook post reflecting John 15:5, he wrote, As long as we stay connected to the Father, we will bear much fruit in our life. But how do we do that? There is only one way, prayer and holding to the Word of God. We cannot walk in His Spirit without communication. And that communication is only through prayer and by staying in His presence so that we bear fruit. My prayer for myself and for you is that we will walk with Him every day, stay close to Him, communicate with Him, daily empty ourselves, and surrender to serve Him, he added, because without Him, we can do nothing of value in this life. This is the way to personal revival. And so Pastor Saeed was saying that he was not able to strong on his own. He had written a previous post saying that there were Christians that were in the jail cell with him that denounced their religion once they were being tortured. And some of them would start out strong, but then they wind up turning to Islam. And so we want to read what happened with Peter, because Jesus foretold Peter that he was going to deny him. And Peter was like, "No, Lord, I would never deny you." And then Jesus said, "You will before the clock strikes. You will deny me, the rooster crows." And so I'm going to read to you. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69, starting at verse 69. That's Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 69. I'm reading out of the NIV, and you can read out of the version of your choice. And it reads, "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. She says, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said, 'but he denied it before them all.' 'I don't know where you're talking about,' he said." So Peter, this little girl comes, and she was like, "You were with Jesus." And Peter was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." See, at this point, Jesus had been arrested. And when he had been arrested, all the disciples, they fled. You know, Jesus was by himself with his captors. And so, therefore, the disciples went in all directions, okay? So Peter, he didn't want to be affiliated with Jesus because he was afraid, hey, the same thing was going to happen to him. So when this little girl asked, "You know, you were with Jesus," and he said, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." Okay, we're going on to verse 71. "Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know the man.'" So Peter was like, "I don't know him." So that's twice that Peter denied Jesus, all right? So he was up under the pressure, and he probably was feeling like, "Oh, well, I saw what they did to Jesus. They might do the same thing to me, so I can't say I know him." And so Peter denied him again. So after a little while, With those standing there, went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses on himself and swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. So the third time, people was like, "Yeah, I know who you are. And but on top of that, you have an accent." And it lets us know that you were one of the disciples that was with him. And Peter, not only did he not confess that he was with Jesus, he started cursing. You know, that brought out, you sometimes you think, "Hey, I'm delivered, I'm set free, I don't curse anymore, I don't steal anymore, I don't do this, I don't do that," but then let you get tested. That's when you know what are you truly made of. And so Peter, he not only denied Christ, he started cursing and everything. "I don't know the man. I ain't going to say no words," you know, that he probably said. But he's like, "I don't know this man." But then he remembered that Jesus had already prophesied to him, telling him that he was going to deny him. And Peter, when he realized that he had fulfilled the very prophecy that Jesus had told him was going to happen, he went away and wept. He was sorry. He was sorrowful that he allowed his fear to overtake him and he denied his Savior. how many of us, if we're going through something, if it comes to the day, when it comes to the day, that we are asked, are you a Christian? How many would say, I don't know the man. I've never been a Christian. I don't know what you're talking about. See, we have Christians that are facing that every single day in other countries, in Nigeria, with Boko Haram, and places like Saudi Arabia, Iraq, different places where Christianity is not welcome there. And China is not welcome. And Cuba, different places, is not welcome. And so you have people that are standing up, and some of them have lost their heads because they decided to stand up for Christ, and they did it with joy. They were not sorrowful. When you saw them bending down with getting ready to die, they did not act afraid. They knew that they were going to see something better. They knew that, hey, I'm standing up for Jesus, so whatever I lose down here is way better than, it's nothing compared to what I'm going to get in heaven. And so, therefore, they willingly gave their lives for Jesus. So how many of us will be able to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to stand for Christ? How many people are not going to deny Christ when that time comes for us to say, hey, I'm a Christian? Someone has a machete up to your neck and they say, are you a Christian? Will you deny Christ and say, I don't know the man? Or will you stand up and stand up boldly and say, yes, I do. I do stand for Christ. I am a Christian. I make no apologies about it. And see, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to start at verse 9. That's Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, because you have some people that believe that we're not going to go through persecution. And the only ones that teach this is the Western nation. No other countries teach that we're not going to go through persecution. It's just the Western nation. Now, why is that? Is it that we're so spoiled to thinking that, oh, we're going to be caught up out of here, we're going to be raptured up out of here, we're not going to go through persecution? God was talking about everybody else, but we're not going to go through it in the Western nations? How dare we think that God favors us more than he favors the other people that are already going through their great tribulation right now? But, oh, many in the Western nations, you got many pastors who are peddling this deception of we're going to be raptured up out of here and we're not going to go through the persecution. And many Christians are not going to be prepared because they're going to be thinking, well, I'm going to be raptured. I don't have to worry about it. That's them over there. God bless them, but I'm not going to have to worry about it. Well, what does the Bible say? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, it says, then you will be handed over. This is Jesus talking now. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. And see, some people say, oh, well, this is for the disciples back then. The end was not to come then. The end is coming. So Jesus was prophesying to us today that some of us is going to go through persecution. And I'm not talking about just persecution with somebody talking about you or mistreating you. I'm talking about being put in jail like Kim Davis was this year. I'm talking about being beheaded like the Egyptian Christians that was done last year. I'm talking about being burned alive like what's been done with ISIS, burning people alive. I'm talking about children being slaughtered. slaughter. These things are taking place now in other countries, and it's going to come to the United States of America, okay? As we see, America is becoming more hostile when it comes to Christians. And so many Christians are like the walking dead, thinking, well, nothing's going to happen to us in America. No, well, no one in America would ever put people in jail for being a Christian. No one in America would ever kill someone for being a Christian. You think so? Do you really think that? If you are thinking that, then you're deceived. You're not reading your word, because the Bible lets us know, and it's clear, that Christians are going to be persecuted and they're going to be martyrs. And it goes on to say, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that caused desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the readers understand. Then let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days were not cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. And at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is Jesus, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if it were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So Jesus is saying that there's going to be a great deception, and people are going to be fooled into believing that it's Christ. Now, and I'm going to say this. See, the devil knows that a lot of people, a lot of Christians, are not going to fall for someone saying, oh, Jesus is in South Dakota. Oh, Jesus is in California. I saw Jesus in Florida. He's very cunning, and so he's going to be smooth. And so he's got this deception he got going on right now is, oh, you're going to be taken up out of here. You're not going to have to prepare for anything. You're not going to go through the persecution. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, that's them over there. Sorry for them, but we're not going to have to worry about it, because we're going to be raptured up out of here. And you got a lot of Christians that are going to be that are deceived right now and not preparing for what is going to come. And we as a nation in America, we have had it so easy. We have had freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. But as we're seeing, and if you're not seeing, you must be blind to what's going on in this nation right now. We are losing our religious liberties. Everything's being considered a hate speech or racist speech, or, they don't want the Ten Commandments. They don't want prayer. They don't want to stand up for the Constitution of marriage, the institution of marriage. They want to confuse the babies with telling boys you can be girls and girls you can be boys, and want to introduce Islam into the schools. We're constantly, as a nation, we're killing the babies, and all manner of wickedness is taking place in this nation that goes against God. And while the Christians are sleeping, the pastors are talking about bigger pulpits and bigger congregations and bigger lattes and your bling blings on your preachers of LA and all this mess that's on television. That, you know, it's sad what is going on. And you got so-called pastors that's giving people condoms and cigarettes, and then you got pastors that's we're gonna talk about some of that tomorrow on our broadcast tomorrow, because you got pastors that won't stand up now to say what thus said the Lord. There's a pastor that recently was busted with copying so-called prophecy from a psychic. The psychic had said that there were some things that was going to take place in 2015, and this so-called prophet, word for word, verbatim, copy what this woman said, and instead of another pastor speaking out against it, he comes up against the person who exposed it. Now, since when do you suppose to, okay, if you see someone robbing a bank and you go alert the authorities that someone's robbing the bank, since when do the authorities go arrest you for telling what happened instead of going to arrest the robber? And that's what's going on in the church. The church wants to crucify people who come up and tell the truth to stop this the sin that's going on. And instead of you rebuking the person who did it, you rebuke the person who exposed it. What in the world? See, this is what's going on. And right now, you got pastors that won't stand up for some kidney beans, okay? They won't stand up for nothing. They're spineless, won't stand up. And if they won't stand up now, do you think they're going to stand up when a gun's to their head to say, choose Christ or choose this, you can choose freedom if you don't, you know? I mean, are you ready to stand up for Christ? And you have so many people that are not ready to stand up for Christ. Yeah, they go to church and say, yeah, you know, I'm a believer and I'm going to stand up for Christ and I, you know, I'm a Christian. And, yeah, when that time comes, I'm going to stand up. You do not know what you're going to do. A lot of you do not know what you're going to do until it happens, because you're not standing up for Christ right now. And so it's sad that we as a body of Christ are not, a lot of churches are not preparing the saints for standing up for Christ. But you know what? It's happening more frequently because you got musicians such as Kirk Franklin come out. He lost his religion. No, he ain't lost his religion. He lost Jesus. The brother needs to be introduced to Jesus again. Somebody needs to tell him that you need to go back to Jesus. You need to renew your first love in Jesus. And instead of saying you lost your religion, no, you lost God, brother. You need to go find God again. You have so many people that won't stand up for Christ right now. It's all about feel-good theology. What I can do to make everybody feel good. What I can do to make everybody like me. What I can do to be popular. What I can do to make everybody bring in the dollars. And that's what a lot of churches have come to, is that it's all about making someone feel good rather than standing up for what thus said the Lord. And a lot of times people are like, oh, well, when you say what's wrong or what's right, oh, well, you're not doing it in love because you're telling the truth. Well, let me tell you something. The truth is that if I am trying to save you from hell, that's showing that I love you, because the thing is, if you do not tell the person and you see the person going in the wrong direction, then you cannot call yourself loving that person, okay? And so the Bible lets us know in Ezekiel, God called Ezekiel to be a watchman, and the watchman is the one that sounds the alarm. And so God told Ezekiel, if a watchman does not sound the alarm and he sees the enemy approaching, the enemy comes and kills, then the blood of that of whoever he killed is on that watchman's hand. But if the watchman sounds the alarm and people don't pay attention, then their blood is on their own heads. And so we as the body of Christ, especially leaders in the body of Christ, have an obligation to sound the alarm. We got to tell people, you got to get ready. You got to repent. You got to change from your wicked ways. You got to return back to holiness, okay? We cannot afford to be part-time Christians with part-time benefits. You're not going to get the benefit of heaven by being a part-time Christian. You're not going to get into heaven by straddling the fence. You're not going to get into heaven by being lukewarm. You're not going to get into heaven by doing the week, well, I'm going to live any kind of way I want to during the week, but then on whatever day you go to the church, or, oh, well, I'm going to make sure I act holy, and I'm going to make sure I speak in tongues, and I'm going to make sure I speak to Christianese while you're doing it at church, but then your life is anything but. God is calling us to be a church that's going to stand up for him, even if it means death. God says to lose your life is to gain it. That means if we lose our life down here for standing up for Christ, we're going to gain it in heaven. We're going to get rewards in heaven. We're going to have our crown and our robe, our white robes and our mansions in heaven. And God, you know, Jesus went to prepare a place for us. And so, therefore, it is up to us to make the distinction for him. Jesus, you know, right now it's serious, and we're in the last days. And if you have not accepted Jesus into your heart today, I ask that you say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, make me anew. I accept you, Lord, as the Son of the living God. Have mercy on me. And if you have said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son down here to die for you. And all you have to do is accept the free gift of salvation. God bless you. This is It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. We are on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4:30 p.m. Central, and on Sundays at the same time for our hour of power. This is Evangelist Rich, until next time.